Amen. 2:21. 2 Kings 2:21. Verse 21. And he went forth to the spring of the waters and cast salt in there. And he said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters, and there shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. Amen. Thank you for standing here today for the reading of the word of the Lord. Amen. And he cast salt, praise God, into the waters. Amen. And they were healed. I tell you, sometimes we need some salt cast into the waters to be healed, don't we?
Right. Amen.
Amen. Life is very similar, praise God. Amen. If the Lord will help us, I'd like to preach a little thought. I could possibly title this a fancy title in my text today. Amen. The man of God made bitter waters sweet again. Amen.
Yeah.
But really what I'm preaching on today is bitterness. There's no way around it. Amen. I'd like to preach a little bit on bitterness. Praise God. And there's nothing more counterproductive in life to the human spirit that I know of than bitterness. Amen. And I tell you, bitterness and resentment are not worth your time. Listen to me here.
Right.
Amen. Don't let yourself get bitter. Amen. Don't let enemies and people of this old life come up against you and get an ill spirit about you. It's not worth letting the devil build up feelings that ought not be there in our lives. Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah. Amen. I've seen preachers leave the ministry due to bitterness. Oh, yes. I've seen families, amen, have been smashed to bits because of resentment that got out of control. Amen. How many times former achievers, people that had achieved great things in business, great things in life, they had accomplished things, but because a bitter root, amen, got inside of them some way, somewhere, somehow, amen. They weren't prosperous after that because bitterness will bring you down.
Yeah, amen.
Hallelujah. Right. Oh, yes, Lord, help us here today. Amen. Listen here. Amen. Bitterness has never healed a broken heart. Oh, no. Amen. Bitterness has never conquered an empire. Amen. Bitterness has never built a great church. Bitterness has never inspired, amen, an empire or a nation such as America. Amen. It's never inspired a rebellious child. It's never brought back yesterday. Amen. God help us not to get bitter. Amen. Great God, the Lord to help me. I'm going to preach to us here in just a moment. Bitterness is a killer. Did you know that?
Yes.
It'll kill you from the inside out. Amen. It ruins everyone and everything in its path. Everybody that touches this root of bitterness, it will ruin you. Amen. Oh, yes, bitterness often causes actual pain and problems such as nervous disorders. Amen. Heart disease, ulcers, mental problems, paranoia. Amen. Oh, yes, sleepless nights, wasted days, hours of anxiety, all stripping years off of your life. What a price to pay for the luxury spirit, the luxury of a poisoned spirit.
Thank God.
Woo, amen. Yeah. There's nothing positive to be said about bitterness today. Everything about it is negative or counterproductive, amen. And yet multitudes of people allow themselves, amen, to be victimized by the spirit of bitterness. Their lives are ruined by resentment and negative memories of yesteryear. And the poison spills out not only on you, but it'll spill out on those immediately around you.
Right.
Woo, hallelujah. Lord, help me for just a little while here today. Amen. It's victims' attempt to sanction this work. Amen. People will say, you don't know what I've been through. Amen. You don't know the hurt that I have faced. Amen. I've already mentioned in this service earlier, every one of us has suffered hurt. Amen.
Right.
If you're in this place tonight, and I would say if you've served God for much more than a year, you can say that I've been hurt. Amen. Something has upset me. Something has hurt my feelings. Amen. Somebody said something that they shouldn't said. This happened, that happened. You don't know what I've been through. Amen. You don't know what I'm facing. I don't. Amen. But what I'm trying to tell you is that's not, amen, a pass to get bitter. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. Those who live in this life, you're going to suffer persecution. Amen. Somebody's going to knock that chip off your shoulder. Somebody, amen, is going to talk bad to you that you wish had never happened. Amen. It's going to happen if you're going to do anything for God. Amen.
Amen.
Woo, hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord, help us. You can't achieve anything in life without, amen, becoming hurt at some point during your work for God. Amen. The fact if we are involved in a monumental battle between God and Satan, if you're a Christian, amen, if you're supposed to be doing right, if you're on the front lines of the battlefield, you're going to get hostile ammunition your way. Praise God. You can count on it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel like I'm just pouring this on like water on the duck's back at the moment. Praise God. I'm not giving resentment or bitterness an easy pass. I'm not saying, amen, that it should be that way. What I'm trying to say is expect it.
Yeah.
Expect, amen, your feelings to get hurt.
Right.
Oh, Lord, I'm getting ready to tread down some hard avenues. Amen. Expect somebody to walk out of your life.
Bless him, Lord.
Yeah. Come on.
Woo. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes friends, amen, that we thought would be there till death do us part. And I believe friendship ought to be that way. Amen. I believe friendship ought to be like a marriage. Amen. Great God, Brother Daniel, until death do us part. Amen. If you're my friend, then be there in the trenches. Amen. Be there in the thick. Be there in the thin. And I'll do the same for you. But great God, people walk out in life. Amen. People turn their back and talk about you and run you down and say things they ought not say, and they walk out your life.
Amen. Come on.
I hate to tell you this.
Come on.
Expect it.
Yes.
Oh, God. Don't get bitter. Don't get a hard spirit. Don't let the devil turn you sour, because I hate to be the one to tell you, but it's going to happen.
Right.
Girls, listen to me. You boys, listen to me. You're still young and you don't quite know what I'm talking about. Amen. But life ain't always easy. Amen. Life ain't always a bed of roses. Praise God. Sometimes things are going to happen and it'll catch you blindsided and it'll hurt you, and you'll pout and you'll moan and you'll get in a corner somewhere and say, oh God, why? I don't understand. I hate to tell you this. Amen. But I'm still there in some places in my life where I say, God, I don't understand why. I don't understand how. Lord, why? Great God, all I can tell you is, don't get bitter. Don't get a resenting spirit. It'll kill you.
Amen,
brother. Lord, help me here today. I got this on my heart. Amen. I think it was Billy Graham one time, and I don't know if you're a Billy Graham fan or ain't a Billy Graham fan. Don't really matter. But I think one time the media really tried to tear him down. And they really persecuted him. Amen. They really come against him. And a close friend of his showed up to his rescue. I like to hear them old preachers. There's an old preacher I like to listen to. And he went to Lester Olof's side many a times. And he was from northern Indiana, way up by Chicago. He flew on a plane multiple times when the state of Texas tried to put Roloff in jail. Hey, man, Roloff ran them homes down there in Corpus Christi, Texas. I think Roloff still was on WMM for years and years. I think he still is, unless it's went off recently. Hey, God, Roloff told the truth. Sometimes he preached a little too hard. Well, they tried to put him in jail. Amen. And Dr. Jack Hiles from Indiana was down there. And I think one time he brought 100 men with him. Woo, hey, God. And he showed up there on his doorstep. Amen. And they boycotted them down there and kept old Roloff out of jail. Or several times he was just in there a night or two. Amen. Hey, God in heaven. Hey! Amen. But you know what? Amen. One time Billy Graham got to that place. And a preacher buddy of his that had stood with him through the years showed up and said, Billy Graham, how you going through this? Everybody's turned their back on you. Everybody that should stand with you right now has to turn their backs and they've forsaken you, and you're standing as though all by yourself. And Billy Graham held his hands up and he said, I don't have scars in my hands. I love this. He said, I don't have scars in my hands. He said, they betrayed my master and they nailed him to a cross and they killed him. And he loved him until the end. Jesus never got a bitter spirit. Hey, I come to tell us, well, that's hard to do, Brother Jason. I may tell you it ain't hard to do, but you don't have to get bitter. You don't have to resent. Amen. The very day you was born, don't get bitter.
Bless you. Yes. Have your way,
Jesus.
Amen.
Have your way, mighty God.
Oh God. Amen. God is at work in your life. Oh yeah. Somebody else might have walked out, but God ain't.
That's right. Right.
Somebody else might have shut the door and walked away. God has it.
Amen. You're right.
Hey. I don't know why I'm on this, but I feel this deep down in my spirit right here. I really do. And I don't really know anything. In other words, immediate going on, you know, around here. A lot of times I know things. Amen. But I'm not preaching about anything directly that's going on that I know of in this church whatsoever. But I come to tell somebody, if somebody slams the door in your face and they walk out on you, I know this is hard, but you didn't need them anyway. If they slam that door in your face and they walk out, amen, great God, let them go. God will open another door. Hallelujah. Great God, let them go. Amen. Try to make a restitution. Ask them what the problem is. Amen. But if you can't resolve that problem, let them go. It'll drive you to a grave. It'll drive your mind insane. Trying to figure things out that you don't understand. I guess that's been one of my downgrades. I try to figure out, why did they do this? Why did they do that? You can't figure it out. You'll never figure it out on this side of eternity. If they shut the door and they don't want to open it up, don't get bitter. Just leave the door shut. Amen.
Oh, amen. You're right.
Yes.
Glory to God. Thank you.
Can't afford to become bitter. Amen. Matter of fact, we can't afford anything to do with resentment in our hearts.
Right.
And in our life. God didn't walk out on you. God hasn't shut the door.
Right.
Amen. I don't know why, but sometimes, amen, great God in heaven. So, I'm trying to think. My mind's going 1,000 different ways. Who was it? John Mark and Paul. Amen. Guess what? They split. Amen. Hey, guess what? Paul and Barnabas. Amen. They had great contention one with another. And guess what happened? They split. Oh, God. Help us, Lord. Amen. Hey, God, things are going to happen in our life. But you know what? One went one way, and he did a work for God, Brother Tommy. And another went the other way, and he did a work for God. But if they'd have let themselves got bitter, amen, neither one of them would have did anything. Sometimes that door is shut for a purpose. Sometimes that door is shut for a reason. Amen. Oh, God. Amen. Lord, help us not to get bitter.
Amen.
Yes. Oh, God.
God, have you
one. God ain't the one who walked out.
Right.
I've seen a picture. I'm sure you have. I've read of that dungeon, that Mamertine prison that Paul was put in the last days of his life. Everybody ever seen a picture of that?
Yeah, Lord.
I tell you, matter of fact, I recently read an account of a man that's been to Israel multiple times, and he talks about that hole that they put Paul in. He said, really, it was a dungeon. I don't think solitary confinement in today's prison world could compare to where they put Paul. Amen. They said it was a dark, dungeonous hole. Amen. Not even see the light of day. Praise God. Listen to me. I'm trying to preach to us. Praise God. Amen. He couldn't even see the light of day, but you know what, Brother Tommy? Amen. Not one time did you read in the words of Paul that he got bitter. Not one time, Brother Daniel, did Paul say, look at how they treated me. I traveled myself to death. I went up and down their streets preaching. I did this and I did that. Amen. And look how they did. No, not from Paul. Amen. They put him down in that prison. Amen. That trap door. Amen. Through that old trap door would be lowered possibly each day place of nourishment, and that old stone bench, amen, that I've seen pictures of, amen, there Paul, amen, would lay on that hard stone bench, possibly some straw on the floors, amen, yeah, got possibly a candle that he could light up every now and again to pen some scripture down, because I believe he wrote some scripture while he was down in that hole, amen. Oh yes, but here was Paul, the greatest missionary evangelist of all time. Here was that old, amen, warrior, amen, writing in Philippians 4 and verse number 4. I believe he wrote it while he was in the Mamertine prison, and he wrote these words. Listen to this. Rejoice in the Lord, amen, always. And again I say rejoice, amen. Rejoice. How can I rejoice, Paul? Amen. Rejoice. I'm preaching about Paul here. Rejoice in a dungeon. Yes, Paul said, I can rejoice in a dungeon. Rejoice when demons, having loved this present world, have forsaken me. Paul said, yes, I can rejoice when my friend walks out on me. Rejoice when Alexander the coppersmith, amen, had lied on me before Nero. Yes, Paul said, I can rejoice. Rejoice when you lie in the bed of straw with lice and rats crawling around you. Paul said, yes, I can rejoice. Amen. Rejoice when your body is full of sores and bleed and fester. Rejoice, amen, when you know that the headsman will come swinging the axe to take your head off in just a few short days. Rejoice when you haven't seen the sun in months. Hey God, rejoice when you're amen, when you partially fill your belly with garbage and feed that they feed you on a daily basis. Oh, hear his answer. Amen. In Romans 8 and 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Here was Paul's secret. He wasn't of this world. He had crucified the flesh. He had killed Paul out. And Paul wasn't living for Paul. Present comforts in this world. He had his eyes set on heaven. And he said, you might persecute this body. You might persecute this spirit. You might put me in a hole, but my mind's in heaven. You might persecute my spirit, but my Savior is high above. I'm about to feel like shouting in this house today. Hey, I come to tell us right here on a Sunday afternoon, rejoice in that trouble. Rejoice in that trial. Rejoice in that turmoil. You don't have to get better. Pray for me, I'm most of the way done. Man, that stirs my heart. My God, what a man. What a man. What a commitment, Brother Daniel. Paul simply wasn't of this world. He was dead to the world system, and he had his heart and his mind on Christ.
Jesus.
Nothing in this world could affect him. Amen. He was totally Christ. He wasn't going to be very long in that hole. He was going to be shouting on streets of gold. He was looking for that continuing city whose builder and maker was God.
Yes.
Listen to me here. What a little inconvenience or pain for him. So Nero had condemned him. So what? God hadn't. Demons had forsaken him. So what? God hadn't. Alexander the coppersmith had lied on him, but God didn't. Hey, I feel like you're starting to get this. How could he write Romans 8 and 35? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? I'm asking you. Give me a few minutes here. Amen. Shall tribulation, shall distress, shall persecution, shall famine, or nakedness, or pearl, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Hey, I come to tell us, we ain't quite made it
You ain't in a Mamertine prison. Amen. The best of the best of your friends had walked out. Amen. And left you stranded. But guess what, brother Tommy? Paul was still in a dungeon. Couldn't see the light of day. Getting ready to get his head took off. In the worst of the worst conditions. Looked like all the world was against him. But he said, rejoice in the Lord. I've got a lot to rejoice about. I'm saved. And I'm on my way to heaven. And God, I come to tell us, you ain't there yet. You ain't in quite the place Paul was. I come to tell some, don't get bitter, but rejoice. Throw up a hand and say, God, I don't see it right now, but I know you got a plan in this. I don't understand it. I picture this right now. I don't understand it right now, but God, you got a plan.
Glory to God.
Those words I just read to you in Romans are contagious, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I ain't got time to preach that. That's a sermon in itself. But Paul covered the basis, Brother George.
Right.
He covered the basis on everything in life right here. Read these later. Romans 8, 35 through 39. Read them later, praise God. But hey, I tell you, Paul covered the basis. Paul said there ain't nothing in this life, and there ain't nothing in the next life to come. Sickness. Troubles, trials, friends, governments, jobs, it all might turn south on you, but God is still there, and God still cares. I feel the Holy Ghost right here today. I know that bitter spirit is putting to work on you and turn your heart bitter, but rejoice. Don't get bitter. Rejoice.
Amen.
The gospel of Jesus Christ is not just a theory, it's life. You can live by it. It's the most practical thing in the world. You could choose to live a life of bitterness and despair if you want. Or you could say, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
I ain't going to do it.
Right.
I ain't got a lot of time, I'm done. But I want to leave you with this. Remember a young boy by the name of Joseph?
Oh, yeah.
Won't you look at Joseph? Joseph had the promise of a dream. He felt like God spoke to him in a dream. And I don't have time to get into all that. Most even school, Bible school, Sunday school kids know the dream of Joseph. Say, Joseph was the favorite son. He had the coat of many colors. But guess what? Joseph's brothers got jealous and they turned on Joseph. They wanted to kill him. But one of the brothers stood up and said, no, let's don't kill him. They threw him in a pit while they was trying to debate on what they're going to do with Joseph. They just come out to kill him. And about that time, here comes some Israelite slave traders. They said, let's sell Joseph. So they sold him like a slave. And they said, let's get rid of Joseph. They dipped his coat of many colors in blood and they took it back home to dad, and dad mourned for years to come over that favorite son. They said, we want not what is behind. Maybe a wild beast has got a hold of him. Amen. Maybe an animal of the mountains. Amen. It's towards all we found was his coat dipped in blood. They lied to their father. But guess what? Joseph, in the meantime, is on his way in the back of a jail cell buggy, and he looks out the crack of them boards, and he sees them great pyramids of Egypt. Amen. He sees the flashing, glittering lights of the world as he tops over that hill into Egypt. He gets down there and he gets so auctioned like an animal, Brother George. They put him on the auction block and they auction him off. And a man by the name of Potiphar buys him and takes him home. Well, it looks like maybe things are going to get a little better for him. Amen. It looks like he's prospering in the house of Potiphar. And guess what? Amen. It gets a lot worse. Oh, he gets down there in Potiphar's house. And Joseph was a nice looking young man, and Potiphar was out, amen, out on business somewhere for a little bit of time, and his wife, amen, hey, you gotta watch things. And his wife come out there and got the fluttering in my eyes, amen, and old
Joseph. Amen. I made a proposition for him. And Joseph said, oh, not on your life, nor my life. And once again, he lost his coat. Amen. He left his coat and he ran out. Hallelujah. And how could it get any worse? So she tells Potiphar, guess what? What the young man did. So they sent him down to a dungeon. They sent him down to the prison. And from what I can gather, approximately 12 years of Joseph's life, amen, he was sent in prison unlawfully. He shouldn't have been there. Amen, down in that prison house. But Joseph never got bitter. Not one time did Joseph ever say, I was wrongfully treated. I was done wrong. Not one time. But on the contrary, Joseph said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. That's what somebody needs to utter. That's what somebody needs to tell us today. The devil tried to kill me. The devil tried to take me out. But God had a plan. God had his will all along.
Yes.
Bless you. You meant it for evil. But God meant it for good.
Come on.
Because guess what? Through all that story, it's long chapters and chapters and chapters in the book of Genesis over there. Chapters and chapters. It's built up to one main thing.
Yeah.
Great famine was going to hit the land, remember?
Right.
And when that famine struck, God tried to warn them. Nobody could interpret the dream.
Right.
But there's an old man of God down there in a dungeon,
right,
who still has insight with God.
Right.
Life has treated him bad. Life has turned him upside down. Life has, amen, has given him a bad hand. But great God, he still had access to heaven. And God showed him what the dream was. You're going to be bad years, seven good years. You got to laugh in those, amen, good years to get ready for the bad years. And guess what? God was working on Joseph, and he took him from the pit. He took him from the prison, and he raised him to the palace. In one day's time, he sat on the throne, amen, and God took him up. How come to tell us, you'll never get rose up. You'll never come out of that if you get better.
Holy, holy.
Stand with me in this house. I preach it in my heart. Wow.
Yes, God.
Blessed be God.
I feel the Holy Ghost in this house.
Yes, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Bow your head with me right here. This is serious. This is a serious service here. The Lord's moving in this place.
Have your way,
God. Oh, God.
Have your way.
Oh, God. Bless pray, 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 church. Pray,
Jesus.
I feel the Spirit of God here.
Jesus.
Lord.
Oh, God.
Somebody's in danger here today.
Bless my pastor, Lord.
God, don't let me get bitter.
Lord.
Don't let me get bitter.
Mighty God. Hallelujah.
Oh, God. Oh, I tell you, I feel the weight of this moment right now. Don't let me get bitter. Bitterness kills. Bitterness destroys. Bitterness will ruin your life.
Blessed is the name of the Lord.
Blessed be God. Let's make a look here. Get a little tune on this piano here. Amen. While we gather in these altars to pray, is there anybody to say, God, I don't want to get bitter. Lord, would you throw some salt in the waters? Elisha throws salt in the waters and they become sweet. I believe God's got some salt in this house.
Yes, he does.
I believe God's got some salt. Is there anybody who wants to come in these altars today and say, God, put some salt in the water? Oh God, the devil's trying to contaminate the waters. Oh God, the devil's trying to contaminate my mind. Oh, hey, I ain't just preaching this for naught. Amen. The devil's trying to contaminate my heart. The devil's trying to contaminate my spirit. Oh, amen. I said I'm preaching here today to somebody. God's got some salt. Amen. God's got some salt to pour in the bitter waters. Anybody in this house want to come forth in these altars and say, God, pour some salt on me.
Glory, glory, glory.
Oh God.
Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God.
Jesus. Put some salt on me, Lord. Jesus. Please don't leave here. I'm not praying.
Jesus.
Please don't leave here. You don't have to leave here that way. You don't have to leave here with that bitter spirit. But you leave here with salt. Come on, come on. They're playing undone. I really thought I'd have some of these orders right now, Lord. I don't want to get there. I don't want to get to that place. God, would you put some salt in me? Some of you kneeling down, them seats you need to be all. Oh God.
The question in your heart, doubt is ever you apart. The greatest hurt your deepest God. God can take it.
Come on, give me yours.
All the bitterness inside, the shame you wish that you could have, the fear that keeps you paralyzed. Always grace Just like new.